Welcome to another exciting episode of our podcast. I am your host, Draco655, joined as always by my co-hosts, Shoot and Ben the Human. How are you doing, guys, today?
Doing pretty good, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, I'm doing good as well. I'm really excited for what we have in store for you guys today.
The format of today's episode will be a bit different, as today we have with us a very, very special guest. Please introduce yourself to the people at home.
All right. Hi, people. Here is Melio. Probably many of you don't pronounce my nickname correctly. I see many international people saying Melio. And well, I'm from Brazil and it's Portuguese, and we say Melio here. I'm one of the admins in the retro achievements, and well, let's go to the questions, and I don't want to spoiling in this introduction.
It's all good, Melio, I guess. We are so happy to have you here on the show with us today. We have put together some questions to get to know you better. So if you're ready, let's get started. So the first segment we have is the retro achievement question. So what is your role on retro achievement?
Oh yeah, I'm an administrator, but well, it doesn't seem to be very descriptive, right? So let me try to list what I actually do there. I'm a moderator, I'm a documentation project maintainer and creator and maintainer, and I'm a website programmer, I'm a Discord bot programmer. I'm a RetroArch contributor when it has something to do with the achievements feature. And well, basically that's it. And recently I started the RE News project, so maybe RE News web designer. Not sure about the best title to use, web developer.
Wow, that's a lot of roles, my friend. Wow, very impressive there. Mm-hmm. How did you discover retro achievement?
Oh, it was a real life friend that showed it to me. Hey, look at this website. And I was really amazed about the concept of the retro achievements. Yep.
Okay. How has retro achievement changed since you first joined?
Oh, it changed a lot. Mainly we started to use Discord as our main way of communication, and well, currently we can't imagine retro achievements without Discord, right? And Scott is the creator of the Retro Achievements Project website. And when I joined, it was a closed source project. The website thing, and it was really hard to. It had many bugs in the website, and when he opened the source, many people were able to contribute and fix some bugs, and I was one of them. And that there are also some stuff that changed because of with my contribution, things that I was involved. Things like RetroArch compatibility, it wasn't very compatible when I joined. The creation of RA LibRetro, it made very easier. It made it easier to add support for more consoles. The documentation project, there wasn't anything like that before. The developer's code of conduct, because handling developers' disputes before this code of conduct was very tiresome. And we created the revisions procedure to change the achievement sets, the rescores thing, the badges, the icon gauntlet thing. The main thing that I see as a big improvement since I first joined is that the RA staff is much more rich, varied and filled with level-headed people. So the staff looks really professional currently, even if it's just a hobby project. Oh, I think that's it.
Wow, I did not expect like how much stuff I've changed since. Wow, that's amazing, Milu. How will you describe your journey on RA?
My journey? Maybe before answering my talking about my journey on RA, I should talk a bit about what I was doing before that. And before coming to Retro Achievements, I was an active member of the RetroPie community. Do you know what RetroPie is?
I don't know what is.
Well, for those who don't know, RetroPie is a project that aims to turn a Raspberry Pi into a retro gaming machine. Well, hopefully, you know what. Oh, it doesn't matter. For those who don't know what a Raspberry Pi is, it's a low-cost computer with the size of a credit card, and it can be used for many different things. People are using Raspberry Pi for robotics, home automation, and a lot of different projects. And the RetroPie is a project that aims to turn this computer into a retro gaming machine where you can control it and choose and play your games using only a joystick. And of course, there are many commercial solutions that Arete offers such setup out of the box, but building your own thing is an awesome experience, at least for those who enjoy making things. And well, I'm talking about this because the RetroPie community is a community of makers. When they notice the lack of a feature, rather than complaining or criticizing, they actually do something to implement that feature. And even if a member doesn't know how to code, they usually help with testing or providing detailed feedback or any other way they find to contribute. And this atmosphere of getting your hands dirty rather than just ranting was a big influence on me and how I approach to projects I'm interested in. So back to the question about my journey on RA.
That's amazing. Oh my God, that's very amazing.
Yeah, as I said, when I joined Retro Achievements, the RetroArch support wasn't really cool. It wasn't really compatible, and I remember many achievement creators being angry with the RetroArch support, criticizing it because they were getting many tickets. And well, I joined Retro Achievements while trying to set it up on my RetroPie, and while I'm playing, I was noticing these problems of achievements not triggering correctly. And well, while I was amazed about the concept of having achievements for retro games, the official emulators being Windows only, it wouldn't be. I'm not a Windows user, and then I wasn't able to enjoy the feature. And I wanted to get achievements while playing on my RetroPie in my living room, sitting on my couch. I don't want to play video games on my office or with sitting at a table, you know.
Yeah.
Well, then I started to search for the guy who started the achievement support on RetroArch, and while not finding him, I started to keep notes of every bug I was facing and then posting them on the Retro Achievements forums. And after some time, the guy appeared. The guy is named Leiradel, and he found the thread I was posting these reports. And then we started to work together to fix the problems, the compatibility problems. He working on the code and I working on the tests, collecting feedback, encouraging all the users to help with tests too. And well, after some time, the compatibility became pretty decent. And well, later he created a way to unify the achievement processing logic for RetroArch and the official retro achievement emulators. I'm afraid I'm going too deep into nerdy details, but well, summing up, it's a software, it's a library software called Archivos, and it was an extremely important step towards total compatibility. Later, I started after noticing that the achievement creation knowledge was scattered in several forum posts and how hard it was to find them, I decided to start the documentation project. And well, I think it's helping dozens of junior developers to create content for the community, for the whole community. And let's see. I also contributed with the RA LibRetro project when Leila Dell started it, and Jamiras, not sure how to pronounce his name, Jamiras contributed a lot, and thanks to RA LibRetro, it's much easier to add support for new consoles today.
Well, I'm very impressed of everything I've done here. Do you have anything you want to say else, or you wanted the other question?
I also created some achievement sets just to while working on the achievement on the documentation project. I ended up learning how to actually create achievements, and I had some fun creating some.
Yeah, achievement creation is very fun.
Maybe I can. It would be a useful opportunity to explain to the community what LibRetro, not RA LibRetro, but LibRetro. Maybe I can explain what LibRetro is and why sometimes it looks like we randomly add support for a not very famous or requested console.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I hope to be able to explain that in simple terms without going too deep into a nerdy talking. Well, most of you probably have an experience with many different emulators, right? And each one of those have different user interface, different ways to configure your joystick, different menus, and how to make the configurations in general. And it's not what happens on RetroArch, right? On RetroArch, you use the same interface for several consoles. And maybe understanding a bit about the inner works of RetroArch can probably make you aware first, why it's an amazing and impressive project. And second, why sometimes it seems like we hated support for a random console. And the first thing I would like to explain is what LibRetro is. And I'm not talking about RA LibRetro. Well, LibRetro is a kind of software we know as API. And API stands for Application Programming Interface. But well, don't worry too much about this fancy name. Let's just focus on the interface thing. All right. Are you following?
I'm there.
Well, when an emulator programmer decides to write their code using the LibRetro API, they can put their main focus on the actual emulation code. I mean, the code responsible to emulate the original hardware. They don't need to worry up too much about user interface decisions, like how people will configure their controllers, how they will save their progress, which folder will be used for save states, and how they will log in into their Retro Achievements account and stuff like that. Again, they can focus on the actual emulation code. all those user interface decisions are done by what we call a front-end. A front-end is a piece of software responsible to interact with the user, right? And RetroArch is a front-end for the LibRetro API. So let's see. Remember I said API is an interfacing thing, right? So let's take some examples. MGBA, for example, is a software responsible to emulate Game Boy Advance. And it uses the LibRetro API. So thanks to these facts, MGBA can use RetroArch as a front end. And then the MGBA programmer don't need to worry too much about the input configuration and those user interface decisions. It's all handled. It's delegated to RetroArch. It's all handled by RetroArch. Same thing goes to, let's say, PCSX, which is a software responsible to emulate PlayStation 1. And it also uses the LibRetro API. And then any front end for that API is also able to run PlayStation games. And well, the jargon term we use for those emulation specific code like MGBA, PCSX, the jargon we use is core. So MGBA is a core for Game Boy Advance, PCSX is a core for PlayStation 1, Pico Drive for Mega Drive. Well, turns out that RA LibRetro is also a LibRetro front end, but coded with the tools needed to create achievements. And now, the answer to the question, why sometimes it seems that RA programmers add support to a random console no one cares about? Well, the answer is because sometimes the piece of software responsible for the emulation, which is also known as core, sometimes the core is coded in a way where it's already able to support achievements. Then it's not like we retro achievements programmers were working on the emulator's code to add support. The thing is already there, and it's just a matter of, let's say, connect the dots. The core is already able to support achievements, and we just need to add it to the list of the core supported by RA LibRetro and to the list of consoles available for on the website. I mean, we just need to configure RA LibRetro and the website to accept that console, right? Wow. I hope I was clear. Sorry.
Yeah, that was very clear. I'm very impressed about actually that answer. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that's a really amazing of how much you have done and everything you have explained it. That's fantastic. So which project that you work on for RA and you're the most proud of and why?
Let's see. If we are talking about something I'm the main responsible, the answer would be the documentation project, because it allows newcomers to learn how to create achievements really fast. I'm not really sure if proud is the right term to describe how I feel, because being proud kind of means like I'm more important than others, and that's not the case, because maybe a more accurate term would be satisfied, or feeling the satisfaction of doing something and realizing that what you did is useful for many people. And yes. I started the documentation project, and I am its maintainer, but I'm not the only one to receive credit for making it what it is today. Many people contributed there. But well, to be honest, the most important thing that happened in the RA scene, and in my opinion, and that I was part of it helping, it is the RetroArch compatibility and the creation of RA LibRetro. I wasn't the main programmer on those projects. Such credit must go to Leigh Riddell and Jamiras. But I contributed with just a few lines of actual code, but I helped a lot with testing, providing detailed feedback, and I feel a big satisfaction by seeing it being used to add support to a whole bunch of new consoles. That's something I'm really happy to see being an actual thing.
I mean, we always happy when we see a new console coming, so the hype is always there for us. Do you have any current goals on RA that you want to share with us?
Well, as a player, I would like to be part of the 100K club. I mean, for some reason, more than 100,000 points seems to be a milestone for some players, and I'm one of them. But as a retro achievements programmer, I'd like to see many things being implemented. Maybe one that I'm really interested in is to create a way to give credits to people who contribute with anything that is part of an achievement set. Currently, only the person who uploaded the achievement receives the credit, but sometimes another person created the badge or had the original idea for the achievement. Sometimes you create achievements based on code notes left by another person. And leaderboards don't even have authorship. I think you understood what I mean. I would like to give credit for the people who had the original ideas for the achievements, which is known as achievement design. The person who actually coded the achievement, the person who created the badges, helped with testing, fighting bugs, and having a hardcore player partner is cool for that. And the person who created leaderboards, I hope it can encourage people to work together to create some awesome achievement sets.
I mean, those were like, make me almost like, I have like mini feels right here when you say that. I mean, like, even like, sometimes I feel I don't do like a lot, but just like sharing the passion to the others, that's how I'm proud of to sharing.
Exactly. Also, I would like to be able to create achievements on my Linux, like natively. Currently I use a virtual machine running Windows and I use RE Liberator on it, but I really would love to run something natively on Linux with no need to use virtual machines or something like that, and probably make it possible for Mac OS users to create achievements too.
What do you think about the competitive aspect of RA from a staff member point of view?
I'm not sure about a typical staff member point of view, so I'm going to answer from my own point of view, right?
Yeah, sure.
And I must confess that it was one of the things that took me a little while to get used to. As I said, I came from a maker community where many guys contribute to make something great, something bigger than what they would be able to do alone. And for example, there are some great artists in the RetroPie community. They create some awesome themes, splash screens, superb overlays to use on RetroArch, but they don't know how to code. And when I saw those images, one of my reactions was like, wow, really cool art, but unfortunately, a big portion of our users don't even know where to place the files to enjoy this artwork. Then I created a tool to make it easier for regular users to install those images where they need to be installed. I'm talking about this that as an example of the, let's say, culture shock I faced when I started to work on the Retro Achievements project. I completely understand the competitive atmosphere from the players community. After all, it's an achievement community and where people like to brag about their gaming skills. But I wasn't expecting a similar behavior from the achievement creators community, but well, after some time I got used to it. And actually I think that maybe I managed to change this mindset a bit with the junior dev and code reviewer thing. It's an example of that where people are helping each other to create achievements, I think they are starting to see how important it is for the whole community.
That's very awesome. Will you recommend that players experience retro achievement in hardcore mode? If so, why?
Oh, hardcore mode. Yeah, sure, because hardcore mode is the normal mode to play retro achievements, right?
Yes.
As you guys said in a previous RA podcast episode, using softcore mode is useful for training some hard parts, and I think it's also extremely useful, I would even say mandatory, for creating achievements. So, in my opinion, softcore mode should be renamed to something like developer mode or training mode, if you prefer. Well, my main problem with softcore mode for, let's say, achievement hunting is because it seems to be against the concept of an achievement. And the problem is not just conceptual, it's also technical. But, well, let's talk a bit about the concept. For example, if an achievement is about beating a boss without taking damage, then you're playing in softcore mode and save a state and then get hit, and then you load the state before getting hit to avoid damage. It doesn't make sense for me. It's not fair, and the person who does this doesn't deserve to have the achievement unlocked. I really hope it to be obvious for everyone's eyes, but well, for some reason, some softcore players like to argue, saying stuff like, hey, I'm already being penalized, getting less points than hardcore players. But in my opinion, such argument doesn't address the problem. The problem is not about points. The problem is the achievement is about beating the boss without taking damage. And you did take damage.
Yeah.
And well, going further, besides this conceptual thing, there's also a technical problem with softcore mode. Let's say, for example, an achievement for beating the game without passwords. And, well, the game has, for example, 8 stages. I'm again trying to not go into deep into technical details, but, well, the way an achievement works and how it triggers is by checking conditions. Let's say RetroArch is always checking if the conditions needed to trigger an achievement have been met. So probably an achievement for beating the game without passwords would be something like, would have the following conditions. The player passed the stage 1, passed the stage 2, stage 3, and so on, until beating stage 8, and that's the moment where the achievement should trigger. Now, let's think in a softcore player who played a bit one day and saved a state while at stage 6 and turned off RetroArch. And in another day, he loads the state and restart playing from stage 6 and then beats the game. Well, even if he didn't use a password, it won't work. The achievement won't trigger. And because after closing RetroArch, it forgets that you passed through stages 1, 2, 3, etc. And when you run RetroArch again and load the states being on stage 6, RetroArch doesn't know that you passed through the previous stages in a previous session. Then the achievement won't trigger. And if the player thinks he deserves the achievement, he'll probably open a ticket for it alleging it's not triggering, and the achievement creator will get a ticket, an undeserved ticket, and it caused some sort of a stress for achievement creators to receive tickets of people alleging it's not working, but it is working, you know. Can you see the mess caused by softcore mode and why I think it should be renamed? I hope
you get it. I see a lot of that. So another interesting question, what suggestion do you have for our user are looking to get more involved in the community but don't know where to start.
Oh yeah, it's a good question. And actually, I tried since I started the documentation project, I created a document specially for this to address this question. And if you go to docs.retroachievements.org, you will find a doc named "How to Contribute If You're Not a Developer," and where I outline some ways to contribute. And it's basically report broken achievements, providing detailed info. All right, and go to if you really know a game and the game doesn't have achievements, or even if you already have achievements, I mean, if you really know a game, you really love the game, go to the game's official topic and suggest cool and interesting achievements for that. It's a really cool way to contribute. And I think I missed this, you know, when I was talking about my journey, but one of the episodes that happened to me was when I suggested, there's a NES game called G.I. Joe, and I really loved this game, and when I played it a lot when I was a kid, and I suggested, when I saw the game didn't have achievement, I suggested some, and well, an achievement created popped in and implemented my suggestions. It was, wow, it was a really cool feeling. Like, wow, that's an awesome community. Now, and well, I'm talking about that because it's a cool way to contribute, and it gives you some good feeling of being part of the project. And well, another good way to contribute is give feedback about what you like or dislike in an achievement set. But well, it's important to be specific and not just ranting, right? It's important to be specific and leave details about what you like or dislike. If you like computer graphics, maybe you can create some cool badges or game icons for the games that have very basic ones. Be sure to check in the docs how to propose change for the badges and game icons. Or simply join the community events like Achievement of the Week and stuff like that. And I think that's it.
Very interesting.
If you have a friend, if you don't know how to create achievements and you have a friend who knows it, try to help him with tests while he's still creating the achievement set. That's really, really useful because, achievement creation is a very time-consuming activity, and helping with tests is really handy.
Having a friend around you is always the best case to into ours, so this is the best place to make new friends and stuff. What advice do you have for people who are interested into developing achievement but unsure how to get started?
Curiously, I created a doc for that too, and it's called "Surprise: How to Become an Achievement Developer." But trying to summarize it, it's basically find a game that you really love and write down a list of achievements you would like to create. But well, be sure to do some research. I mean, it's more important, these two steps: find the game that you really love and do some research, is more important than the technical things, in my opinion, you know. And because it gives an impression that you respect the game. An advice would be to, for example, go to GameFAQs or search for YouTube videos, whatever, and look for walkthroughs, guides, and look for interesting stuff like Easter eggs, secret items, secret spots on the game. Try to explore most of the game. And once you have a list of cool achievements, you are ready to start your junior dev journey. So go to our Discord server and ask for a junior dev role. And once you are there, you will have access to a channel where people are there to help each other and show you the docs you should read to implement your ideas. But I would like to stress this. The main advice I would like to give is find a game you really love, because you will spend too much time into it, achievement creation, and write down a list before going to the technical stuff. Have a cool list of achievements before going to the technical stuff.
That's very good advice there. Okay. Oh, this one is my favorite. What is the next console you wish to see on RA without giving us too much hope of what may be coming?
Oh, well, honestly, we already support every console that made part of my gamer life, which is Atari, NES, Master System, and Super Nintendo, Mega Drive, the classic handhelds like Game Boy or in Game Gear. As you can see, I witnessed the war between Nintendo and Sega. And later, I played PlayStation 1, and well, we have tons of games with achievements for those systems, and I have an impression that if I stop everything I do today and just play retro achievements, I have games to play my whole life. So, well, sorry, I think I don't have an answer for these questions, like the console I wish to see.
It's okay. For my last question before Bendy would take the role here, what have you learned from your time on RA?
I think my English improved a lot. And I learned PHP and other web development technologies to contribute with the website. I learned JavaScript to code our Discord board. I learned to be extremely careful with code while contributing with RetroArch. And I also learned that how cool it is to be surrounded by nice people and skilled people. I'm a big fan of two guys in the admin staff, and they are Lucaos and Jamiras. Since they joined the admin staff, I have an impression that I'm always learning something from them. And I think that's it.
All right, that's really fascinating, Malu. I feel like I've learned so much in this short time already. I'd like to change the topic now shortly, and I want to get into RA News. I understand this has been a bit of a passion project of yours, and the first issue of RA News just came out recently. Mm-hmm. Just speaking personally, I loved it. I thought it was a ton of fun to read through. So I want to poke into your brain a little bit and really learn more about RA News. So all right, to get us started, for those listening who might not know what RA News is, can you give a brief little overview of what exactly the project is and what the goals of the project are?
It aims to be like a monthly magazine where the community can be aware of what's happening in the retro achievement scene. You will see things like which achievement sets were released last month, what competitions are happening, which achievement sets got a revision or a rescore, and also some fun stuff. And I think you mean the goals of the project. I think the main goals of the project, there are two main goals. So goal number one, show to the community what the RA staff are actually doing, because sometimes I feel like many community members think we are doing nothing, and like it seems like the staff status, the staff role is like a status thing, and well, everyone there is actually doing some work for retro achievements community as a whole. And the goal number two is to get more involvement from the players community. I mean, from from people who are not exactly an achievement creator, but can contribute in many different ways, like writing an enjoyable article, talking about a cool game, share some trick for a hard achievement, and stuff like that. So, summing up, I want to make it clear that this is an awesome community and that we can do great things when we work together. I mean, any little contribution is valuable when added to the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, I really like how RA News has sort of bridged the gap between the staff and the community, where you have this system where it lets the regular users know what the staff has been up to, mm-hmm. whereas it also lets regular community members contribute to the project. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, how did the idea for this RA News, how did the idea first come up? What were the beginnings of the project? What did they look like?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting because I already tried something similar in the first months of 2019. Well, I was posting on the forums what we, the RA programmers, what we were doing for the project. And it was really cool to receive some nice feedback from the community. But later, after like 3 months doing that, I had burned out and left the RA staff for some time, taking a little vacation. I think it lasts 1 year. I'm not really sure. But, well, the burnout wasn't really because of the RA News thing, but many other things happening. But, well, when I came back this year, I noticed many cool things happening, but scattered in many different places, like the new session of our front page, or in forum threads or Discord. Also, these cool stuff were being buried after some time, therefore being missed by a big portion of the community. So the idea to create a specific website to be like a monthly magazine came when I saw Sting X2, one of our moderators. And he was creating some covers for, let's say, a fictional Retro Achievements magazine. Well, to avoid the burnout, again, taking too much tasks for me, I decided to, instead of doing everything by myself, I started asking people if they would be interested in creating content for RA News, and many of them agreed, and then I could focus on the web design of the project. And well, maybe I must say that Sting's enthusiasm about this project was a big motivation for me.
That's awesome. And I think you make a good point about how RA News really collects everything that's going on in RA in one place. Exactly. I know that with the website, the Discord, the forums, it could be a little bit overwhelming to keep track of everything, especially for a new user. So I, just speaking personally, I really like the idea of one monthly magazine that has everything in one place. It's really cool and it's really entertaining to read.
It has a retro feeling too, like those old magazines from the 90s.
Absolutely. When I was reading through it, because I used to get Nintendo Power back in the day, and it reminded me so much of that feeling of flipping through a new issue of Nintendo Power. Just so exciting, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
And so I want to peel back the curtain a little bit. What do things look like behind the scenes working on RA News? What are some of the challenges that might come up that we might not know about?
The challenges of working on RA News, all right. I think the main challenge is because I'm not a professional web designer, but I really want to improve my skill on this matter. Actually, I think that it was a bit vague answer. So trying to provide a less vague answer, I think the main challenge is to make the website look good and responsive. Honestly, I'm not really happy with how some pages look on mobile, especially those pages with tables, because they create an horizontal scrolling, and well, I don't like that. But hopefully R will find a solution for that soon in the future issues. And well, what happens behind the scenes? Maybe that I'm studying web design on the fly. I'm building. Well, maybe it's an interesting one that I'm building everything from scratch. I'm writing each line of code, and I'm not using any framework or CSS library to make it easier. I'm using this project to improve my web design skills.
One thing I would like to mention is when I read the first issue of RA News, I actually read it on my phone, and one of the things that struck me was I personally thought it was really well optimized for mobile, so I'm kind of surprised to hear you say that you want to work even more in that area, but I just wanted to let you know it's actually pretty good how it is now, but I guess it'd get even better.
I made some effort to make it responsive, and for the articles who are just text, it works pretty well, but in those pages like Hot Chiefs Monthly, the page where there is a table, it's creating horizontal scrolling.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing how the issues continue to develop. Right. Do you have any tips for people who might want to contribute to RA News, who want to become part of this project?
Oh, sure. Well, if you have an idea for an article, you just need to go to our admin profile and send us a message. For example, we have a play these sets section and where people can advertise the sets they created or simply the sets they love and other people created. And I think this is a cool way to start contributing. And yeah, it's important.
Do you have a personal favorite segment in RA News?
Not really a favorite one, but I have a big respect for what Hotscrock and Ciaro do. Hotscrock keeps track of every achievement set being released, and Ciaro keeps track of every revision, every risk score, every game icons and achievement badges being changed. And wow, it looks more like a chore than a hobby, but well, they are doing it and I have a big respect for that. And I also like the fun segment where Steam creates some crazy games mixing the games with retro achievements with video games. And well, he showed me some stuff he has in mind for the future issues, and well, that's really cool.
I also wanted to ask you a little bit about the future of RA News and what we have to look forward to. But before we get into that, I wanted to ask, do you think that we might have some way of incorporating RA News into the front page of the RA website in the future to have easy access for people?
Oh, yeah, sure. I want that. I think I didn't do it yet because, well, I'd like to be more satisfied with the RA News look and feel, but also I would like to get this feedback I'm currently getting and to see how receptive people would be. And yeah, for sure, it will be on the front page. It will have a link on the front page for sure in the near future.
That's great. I'm looking forward to that. So what does the future of RA News look like to you? How do you think this is going to continue and grow and develop? And do you have any ideas in your head for things maybe you weren't able to implement in this first issue, but we might be able to look forward to in the future?
Oh, yeah. Well, first, a decent responsive website that looks good in any screen size, but well, I want it to be a place where every community member can go to be aware about what's going on, and hopefully newcomers or even not retro achievements members can realize how cool this community is. I really hope this project to be something that makes the whole community feel like being part of the project. Every community member being part of the project. It kind of reminds me the term Gestalt. I'm not sure how to pronounce. Do you know this term, Gestalt?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Well, when I first heard this term, I did some research, and it seems to be a German word. I'm not sure if our German friends would understand. Well, it's a theory or a philosophy, not sure how exactly to label it, but well, the concept is that the concept of Gestalt is that it means that the whole thing is greater than the sum of its parts, right? Like, it seems really vague, but well, let's think that the whole thing is much bigger and greater than when you try to sum each part of this. Well, trying to apply this to our scenario. If you talk to your friend, hey, this old game is really fun, you should try it. This looks like just a random chat, right? If you write a couple of paragraphs for RE News, you can think it's just a little thing. When you open a ticket for a buggy achievement, maybe you're not seeing it as a great contribution. Or if you post some suggestion for an achievement set on the forums, it doesn't seem like a great thing. But anyways, what I mean is all those little random events mixed together cause a greater and awesome result. Let's take my journey in RE as an example. I came here by pure chance when a friend said to me, hey, look how interesting this website is. And then I created my account. I suggested some achievements for a game for G.I. Joe and became really happy when an achievement creator implemented my suggestions. And well, these simple little events caused a big impact in me. This fact that someone implemented my suggestions, it made me, wow, that's a really cool community. It made me stick here. And then I worked on the RetroArch compatibility. I did the documentation project. Many historical website bugs were fixed. I'm not trying to take credit for all those deeds alone. They were caused thanks to the effort of many people. I'm just trying to highlight how little random things like my friend showing retro achievements for me, it aided to the fact that whatever other random events made Liradel be interested in this project, and whatever other little random things that made KDEX invite me to be part of this project and invite me to be an admin, aided to random events that made Jamiras be interested in this project and especially improve achievement creation tools. But what I mean is many little things, if you look just to those little things, they really look like little things, but the whole thing is much bigger and greater. And well, I think I'm being a bit philosophical here, but that's something I have in mind when I work for RE News.
Honestly, I think it's a great philosophy to live by with this project. I think for something like Retro Achievements, where it's such a community-driven system, yeah. I think it really is all of these little contributions for everyone really add up to something incredible. It really is greater than the sum of the parts. Mm-hmm. I think for now I'm gonna throw things over to Shoot, who has another set of questions for you, but I'm really excited about the future of RE News. I look forward to checking that out each month. You've been doing a great job with it.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, and I think Milu, you do make a great point about, you know, a lot of small events in turn triggering a much larger significant event. It kind of makes me think back to you talked a little bit about your background on the RetroPie project and getting into that. And I'm not a maker or developer per se, but I share a similar background in that before Retro Achievements, I built a Raspberry Pi and set up RetroPie on it. So I'm very familiar with.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And I had a lot of fun with it. And that was a long time before I actually even discovered retro achievements. But that's the small event that led to getting into retro achievements for me. So I haven't touched my Raspberry Pi in quite some time, since I mostly play on PC these days. But that is the small event that got me to this point today. So I thought it was interesting that you had shared that with us. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit more just about your background in gaming in general, because I think that would be pretty interesting. So how did you get into retro gaming initially?
Oh, initially, well, that's what I was doing while growing up. Well, it wasn't retro at that time, but well, you are specifically talking about retro gaming. Well, trying to answer how I got back into playing the old games from my childhood, and it's kind of funny story, and looks like another random thing that happened, and basically changed my whole life. Well, one day when my older kid was 8 or 9 years old, he had a PlayStation 2, and one day he asked me to go to one of those street sellers who sells pirated game. Well, you know, it's a popular thing here in Brazil. And he went there and came back home saying, with a CD in hand, and saying, "Hey, Dad, look, I bought a Super Mario game." And I became really surprised, like, what? Is there a Super Mario game for PlayStation 2? Let me check that. And then I noticed that it was a CD with emulators and like 4,000 games. Wow. I became really happy and had a lot of fun playing those games again. And well, basically since then I started to be really interested in emulation in general, especially emulation in the Linux platform, and that's why I became involved in RetroPie and RetroArch projects.
Interesting. Okay. What would you say are some of your favorite gaming memories?
Basically playing NES, Mega Man 3, River City Ransom, Battletoads, Double Dragon, this kind of stuff. Also arcade, knowing Street Fighter 2 on arcades was really awesome.
Yeah, no, the classics. I've been getting into fighting games on the arcade myself, and honestly having a blast, so I can definitely relate there. Do you play any games outside of retro achievements, and if so, what have you been playing these days?
Honestly, not. There is only one exception, and it's Shovel Knight. Well, it has a retro feeling, but well, it's an really awesome. Well, I'm impressed. And the soundtracks, they looks like they were really smart with their choice. Like, you have that bouncing thing like DuckTales. You have hidden items like in the walls, like Castlevania. And you choose the stage on the map, like Super Mario 3. They were really smart. And you also upgrade your weapon like Mega Man. Everything we love to see on NES games, they were really smart.
Yeah, a good mix of a bunch of different fun mechanics that we all enjoy put together. I've heard a lot of good things about that title. I've never played it myself, but that's one of the ones you should really try. Definitely, yeah. What would you say is your favorite game and why?
Maybe Mega Man 3, and I think it's basically because of nostalgia. But in general, Mega Man from NES is my favorite franchise. That thing about gaining a new weapon after defeating a boss and trying to figure what's the weakness of the next boss, I think it's a fun way to play a game.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, one of the first series I got into as a young person was Mega Man, and one of my goals right now is to finish all five on Retro Achievements, the Game Boy ones, that is, because that's my favorite system. So.
Yeah, there are some really tough achievements.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some rough ones. I just have Mega Man 4 in the original, but those definitely have some rough ones. So it'll be definitely a painful uphill battle. What would you say is your favorite console and why?
Oh, my favorite console for sure it's NES, and because of nostalgia too. Not exactly because the hardware, just because of nostalgia.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, there's a lot of good memories that are brought back when we play something that we played as younger people. So I can definitely relate to that as well. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the most challenging game that you've ever played? This can be on Retro Achievements or outside of Retro Achievements as well.
Oh, definitely. It is Battletoads from NES. And I never was able to beat the game. And having Retro Achievements for it really makes me want to try hard to beat the game. And there is an achievement for beat the game without using warp zones. Well, that's insane for me. if I'm able to beat the game in hardcore mode, I will be really proud of that, and that's enough. But wow, without using warp zone, that's like impossible.
Yeah, Battletoads is definitely a rough one. I'm looking at that one in the future as well, either for NES or there's a Game Boy set that it looks like maybe one person has mastered. So that might be a very interesting challenge to take on someday. But what would you say that your experiences with multiplayer gaming look like? And do you have any favorite memories of gaming with friends?
Well, when I was a kid, I had to share my gaming time with my siblings. And actually, I would like to be playing alone and getting better. And you're talking about multiplayer game, and well, being specific to multiplayer, I think Super Bomberman from Super Nintendo, it's really fun to play. I like to play it with four players, like two versus two. Yeah, and actually, in the summer, I usually group with two other close friend families, and we usually rent a house near to a beach, and I always bring my Raspberry Pi with me, and it already became like a tradition to play Super Bomberman, like couple versus couple. I mean, me and my wife versus a friend and his wife, and yeah, that's really fun to play that with friends. Yeah, Super Bomberman, I really recommend that.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, and I think a lot of people, you know, they have like these gaming traditions that they've built up over years, or that they do, whether it's just going out and hanging out with friends and playing a specific game or doing something online. I think there's a lot of those small circles of people that are doing things like that. And
you know, I also have an arcade build, and I use a RetroPie there to be the, let's say, the brain of my arcade. And it's also awesome to invite some friends for a barbecue and drinking beer and playing Street Fighter or Marvel versus Capcom, fighting games where the person who loses gives the place to another, and you are always, well, mocking your friends. And yeah, that's a really fun. It's also really fun.
Yeah, like a King of the Hill style, winner stays. And we used to do that as kids. Like, we didn't have an arcade, obviously, but winner stays and loser goes, and then the next person up will challenge them. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I think that's about all I had for you. I'm going to throw it over to throw it back to Bendy. He just has some more questions for you as well. So,
all right.
Those were some great answers, Malu. It's always fascinating to me to hear about people's background and childhood with gaming, because we all have distinct experiences that shape us into the people we become. But I think that there's also certain things that we have in common, certain things we could latch onto. Oh, you played this game, I played that game too. And yeah, I just think it's fascinating how, go ahead.
No, yeah, I'm just agreeing, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. I just think it's fascinating how we have these little shared childhood memories, even from different parts of the world, we can have these things in common.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you some more general questions, just not necessarily about gaming, not necessarily about RA, but just sort of general questions to get to know a little bit more about you.
All right.
So to start things off, how did you come up with the name Malou? What's the story there?
Well, that's not really... I think it's not a really interesting story. Well, when I was a 7 or 8 year old kid, an older brother used to call me some random names, and I was just ignoring. Like that's the thing we have to do when we don't want to be upset. And they insisted in call me some random names, and for some reason, when he called me Meleu, I became really upset and angry. And well, in the 80s, there wasn't this concept we currently know as bullying. Then when you become upset because of a nickname, it makes the name stick. Well, since then, everyone, even my family, call me Meleu.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you've sort of come around and embraced the name.
Yeah.
Do you have any interesting hobbies outside of RA that you'd like to share?
Interesting hobbies. Yeah. Actually, a big part of my life was spent with a sport called aggressive inline skating. I'm not sure how much popular it is around the world, but well... And if you guys know what I'm talking about, but if you go to Google and search for the terms Meleu and TraxArt, TraxArt, you will see a video of me doing some tricks. It was recorded for a competition, an online competition where we should send 1 minute videos performing some tricks. And I won the third position. Well, I also like to draw. My drawings are not exactly enjoyable, though. I like to draw from observation, and most of my drawings are really sketchy. And I enjoy it more like a relaxing activity, where I enjoy more the process than the final result. And, well, another hobby, I also like to play drums. I'm not really good at it, but I can at least play some basic rock songs. I think I'm like a hobby hunter. I spend some time building, trying to solve the Rubik's Cube. And well, when I was able to achieve to solve that in less than 1 minute in a consistent way, I lost my interest. But it's like that. I'm always looking for something to enjoy, to learn.
That's pretty cool, though. It sounds like you have a pretty well-varied set of skills and interests there.
Yeah.
Do you watch many movies?
Maybe it's caused by maybe I have a fear to have Alzheimer's, and I'm trying to exercise my brain. All right, let's go ahead.
It sounds like you're doing a pretty good job at it. I was just gonna say, do you have any favorite movies or maybe favorite movie genres?
Well, to be honest, the first movie that came to my mind is The Matrix, because it has nice action scenes. It has a philosophical touch that reference to Plato's allegory of the cave. And also because when it was released, I was a teenager really interested in hacking stuff. In 1999, I was going down to the computer security rabbit hole, and the move and the Matrix has this atmosphere. And there is another move that comes to my mind, and that's a very peculiar one because it's a musical movie, and I don't like musical movies in general, but for some reason this one is different for me, and the movie is Jesus Christ Superstar. I think it's really fun how they approach the Jesus story and all that dancing and singing, and yeah, I really like that movie, especially that Herod part where they say, "Jesus, I'm overjoyed to meet you face to face." I hope I'm not offending anyone with this. Let's go to the next question, please.
No worries, you're good. How about music? Do you listen to much music? Do you have any favorite songs or artists?
Sure. Yeah, I'm like a happy Spotify subscriber. I like many styles of music, but my favorite one is heavy metal. But I'm not one of those intolerant metalhead guys who like only metal. Let's see what I have here in my, for example, my most played songs in 2019. There is a band, Veil of Maya. It's a metalcore. Longshot is a rapper from Costa Rica. Yeah, I really like the Spanish language too. There's also Scandroid. It's a vaporwave, synth wave. I don't know. I'm not sure about how to label it, but it's an artist that Salsa showed to me, and I really enjoyed it. Salsa she's retired now, but she was one of the most prolific developers, achievement creators in the retro achievements. Yeah. And recently I'm also enjoying some Afrobeat songs like Fela Kuti and this kind of stuff. Well, it's also varied.
Nice. One last thing I wanted to ask you before we move on here. Take us through an average day in the life of Milou. What does an average day look like to you?
It's a tough question because I work in an oil rig, you know, and I work in shifts, when I'm at work, I'm totally immersed in work. And when I'm at home, I try to spend time with family and also contribute with retro achievements and this kind of thing. And there's no average day, but let me try to explain an average day of my days off, because while at working, I'm always working. Usually it's not typical currently because of this pandemic thing and the kids are not going to school. And I usually help my little kid with homeschooling, and then home chores, and in afternoon I try to have some time at the computer and check what's going on in retro achievements and try to code something, this kind of thing. It's not really interesting, especially because of the pandemic thing.
Yeah, I understand, but thank you for sharing that nonetheless. At this point, I'd like to throw things back to Draco. We have a few final questions to wrap things up here, and I think people are going to really like these ones. This is what you guys have been waiting for.
Yes, so this is the five last remaining question. It's like, for me, it's like since almost like the next month would be like almost 2 years into RA, and I heard this word like so much. So let's talk about V2. So there have been many rumors and speculation about a future major update to a retro achievement, most commonly referring as V2. For your listener who may be out of the loop, can we briefly explain what V2 is exactly?
Well, it became like a meme. Well, V2 is the version 2 of the RV website. And well, since Lukios joined the admin staff, he noticed that the website has many flaws, many bugs. And instead of solving the bugs, he decided to start everything from scratch. And hopefully it will solve many of our problems. And actually, probably most of our podcast audience don't know too much about the background, but the project was created by Scott. And Scott is not exactly a web developer, and he did what he was able to do, and I have a big respect for that. It's awesome. But I think the Retro Achievements website is like it's like a proof of concept in software. In software engineering, we call a proof of concept like something that was made like a prototype. I think he managed to make this a great community. It's an awesome concept. And well, I think the Retro Achievements project is that awesome, mainly because of the humans involved in this project. But well, talking specifically about V2, that's basically that. The Lukios is one of our main web developers, and he wants to create everything from scratch. And I think the rumors about that and the meme V2 when happens because, well, it's taking time because Lukios, well, he's also a father, and if I'm not mistaken, he changed his workplace twice recently. Well, I'm not sure if I should be talking about his private matters here, but it's no secret that he's a professional web developer. And usually when you work with something, you want to do something different in your spare time, preferably something relaxing. But well, in his case, it's more like working in his spare time too. And well, we can't charge him to do anything. He must do everything as a hobby. What was I clear? Maybe.
But yeah, like it's like we respect like totally the work he do here, and I mean I'm pretty sure like a lot of the people who listen to this, they cannot wait to see the final project as we all are here. But
yeah, I really would like to join him and help with the development, because well, I think I'm learning PHP pretty well. But in the current scenario, this pandemic thing with kids at home all day long asking for attention, I'm not having too much time to focus on it. Currently, the way I try to help is taking care of demands that usually would go to Lukios, that demands that could need Lukios attention, like something that must be solved in the retroachievements.org server or reviewing changes being proposed for the current website code, things like that. And that's the way I try to contribute. But well, for sure, if the kids were going to school, I think it would be released sooner.
Awesome. I mean, thanks for giving him some help. My other question is, how will the introduction of V2 affect the average RA user?
You mean how it will be released? Yeah.
I mean, how they are gonna affect them, like into like we are like, yeah, in general.
For a regular user, they will only see a better user interface on the website. But well, in the backstage, the main improvement, I think, will be visible for the backstages and how we will have a better architecture to build things on top of it, you know. And as a programmer, when I need to change something on the current website, yeah, it's a bit messy where the code is, where something, if I change something in a place, how it will affect many other things. And with a better architecture, we will be able to build more features easier, you know. Yes, and trying to answer your question, I think
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think the main visible thing will be the user interface, but soon people will start to see more features being added faster.
Nice. Okay. My other question is, what are some of the new features that we can look forward to? What are you personally most excited about?
You mean for V2?
Yes.
Let's see. I think we will have a more decent news system. Currently, it's just that thing in the home, on the front page, and where you can just write a couple of paragraphs, and we will have something like a blogging system, and it will make it easier for the staff to communicate to the community. We'll probably have a notification system where you can tag your friend or something you want to get attention.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think they have mentioned maybe something about the badges. Maybe I don't know if the badges.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Currently, you can change the order of your badges in your profile page, but it's not really intuitive, and I hope we will be able to just drag the badges to reorder them in the order you want. Is that what you mean?
That would be awesome as well if we can do that. It's more easier for us to just drag them into where we want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Another question. The V2 has been growing for so long that many users have built up a high expectation. As an admin, how do you cope with the pressure to deliver upon the expectation?
Sorry, can you repeat?
Okay, so basically it's like a lot of people have built like so many expectations, like, oh, do we gonna have this? Are you gonna have that? And then a lot of people talking a lot about those V2. So how, as like an admin, and people like almost you said, like it's almost a meme. So how do you have the pressure against like as an admin, like to seeing a lot of people want this happening, and how do you react?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's it's not really comfortable, but I'm one of the people who are excited to see it happen. But I have a big respect for what Lucios do, and well, maybe many community members don't know, but if you look to his profile page, he rarely play games for retro achievements, and it seems like it's an actual work. It's an actual job for him, and he does many things on the server that make it the Retro Achievements website solid, minimally solid. And I'm also excited, but I just want to respect that. Let him get his time.
Oh, of course, we all respect what he does. I mean, I know this is subject. I mean, we like I said, I think a lot of are very hyped for it, and obviously we want, like, we love so much this website, and we want the best for it. And I mean, I know it's like a lot of waiting, but I'm pretty sure it would be fantastic, and we respect every person does work and little stuff like this. So. Yeah. My last question for today for you, that was very fun. So I don't know if you can answer that much, but do you think when we can expect V2?
I'm not really sure, but last time I saw Lucas talking about that, he said this year. But well, I'm not really sure, because the dynamics of this pandemic thing is messing up everyone's life, I guess.
Yeah, that's very affect like every single person,
especially people who are a parent, because kids are not going to school.
So that's all the question we have for you, Milu, today. Thank you very much for talking, for taking the time to speak with us today. We really appreciate it. Do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share with us?
Yeah. Actually, I have one, and probably it will be a little surprise, but I would like to invite you guys to be part of the staff and make it the RA podcast, the official podcast of Retro Achievements.
Wow, that's awesome. I don't know what to say.
Oh my goodness. We did not expect this. Like, none of us knew this was coming. I'm shocked right now. That's amazing. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
That is exciting. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate the way you are you are running the RA podcast. It's very professional. I mean, you are, and I also think that it will be just like RA News. It will be a important step to make the players community get closer to the staff, because sometimes I think we are just focused on achievement creation and the inner works of Retro Achievements. And sometimes I personally have an impression that the players community are full of arrogant people who just want to climb up the ranking. And you made very clear that not every players are like that.
Yeah. I mean, thank you so much for those kind words. I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm almost in tears right now. So for finishes, all right. I don't know what to say. All right. Okay. Let's wrap up today's episode of our podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a like on the video and be sure to hit that bell and to not miss any more episode. Please let us know what you thought of your first guest episode of our podcast and what people you would like to see on the show in the future. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Milu. And we look forward to see you again soon. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.